shout aloud, hallelujah. Let's rise up on our feet, please. As we close our eyes and raise up our two hands to the Lord and sing this song. Oh, Holy Ghost, do it again, again, do it again in my life. I open my eyes to see Jesus. We see them upon the Holy Ghost, do it again. Holy Ghost, do it again, again. We see that upon the truth.
Amen. There are some prayers the Holy Spirit wants us to pray. They are going to be four in number. And the Holy Spirit said his prayers for everyone gathered here today. Don't listen to what is going on around you. Just concentrate on your own prayers. Especially those who want breakthroughs through these prayers. Say this loud and clear after me. Hidden roots of problems. Can you say this loud and clear? You will now raise up your prophet and say, hear the word of the Lord. That's the command. Can I hear the sister saying this? Brothers, say it louder than it is first. Let everybody shout it loud and clear. Make it louder than that again, beloved. In the name of Jesus, whatever problem has a human root, let it die. In the name of Jesus, let me reach to the sky, let me reach to the sky. In the mighty name of Jesus, let me reach to the sky. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let there be a destruction of every hidden root of trouble. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen, beloved. This year is a very interesting year. And it's a year where we have to be very careful, very prayerful, and operate a lot of discernment. This January, for example, a lot of satanic agents are hiring demons against people. You will say this louder than anyone here. Every demon hired against me, I bury you now. In the name of Jesus. Bury them now. Every demon hired against me, I bury you now. Today, today. Right now, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Very good. Very good. So blood of Jesus. For the glory of the name of the Lord. you now pray this with boiling anger. Every dark power operating in my family. Can I hear the sister shouting this with anger? Is that the best the sisters can do here tonight? Brothers, shout it louder than the sister. Can you shout it loud and clear? What time is up? There! In the name of Jesus. In the past. You are not preaching in my family. Deal with that power now in the name of Jesus. Masoto koya boshende rabakanja. Ribo sopanda katendeka. Yes, yes, deal with that power. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Wonderful God, we thank you for a time like this. I will praise your holy name for bringing us here. You are the mighty man of war. You are glorious in holiness. You are fearful in praises. And you do wonders. Thank you for this year. Thank you for preserving our lives. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Tonight we are gathered before you. Open our understanding. Let there be no one here who will go home the same. Lay your hands upon our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's have a seat. God bless you. Tonight, by the grace of God, we're looking at what I call the most tragic words in the Bible. The most tragic words ever spoken. The most tragic words ever spoken. That's what we're going to look at tonight. Before we go further, let me point out that this is a year when everyone has to be serious with the Almighty. It's a year where you cannot be cutting corners with God. It's a year when you cannot afford to be crooked, because you may put yourself into serious, irreparable trouble. It's a year where you have to be straight. Straight. It's a year where you cannot do magumagu with God. It's a year where you have to be keen in whatever you are doing. Men, unfortunately, as men, we have some illusions. Illusions, and sometimes those illusions blind us from knowing what God wants us to do. The illusions can get us into trouble. The illusions can do a lot of damage. The first illusion that men have is the illusion of affluence, wealth. A lot of people think that when they get money, their problems will be over. Some people will say, all I need is cash. Give me hard cash. They made a mistake. A man's life consists in his relationship with God, not with how much money he has. Remember the story of that rich ruler in the Bible, who had built his barn and he has made a lot of money, and he wanted to sit down to enjoy. He said, my soul, you have made so much profit, now sit down to enjoy. But the Lord said, thou fool, thou fool. See, this very night, your soul shall be required for. So everything has put together, where is it now? I want you to understand. That used to be one of the richest men, if not the richest men on the face of the earth. But as of the time that he was a multi-billionaire, the only thing he could eat was milk and cracker biscuit. Cannot eat meat, cannot eat rice. What is the value of that money now? So, affluence, the money, some people are running after, and they are losing their salvation. It's an illusion. It will filter away. If you say a church broke into two now, and somebody goes away, if you find out it's money, nothing else. But they discover later that it's an illusion. Another illusion that men have is the illusion of neutrality. That is, you could be neutral. The mistaken concept that a man can detach himself from conflict. That a man can just sit on the fence. If they say, holiness, say, yes, it's me. Dirtiness, it's me too. Don't dress like this, say, yes, that's okay. Dress like this, that's okay. So really, the person is becoming a spiritual acrobat, but not really serious with the Almighty.
Neutrality is an illusion. You can never be neutral in anything. Even you're keeping quiet and not saying yes or no, it doesn't mean that you're neutral. In fact, to be quite honest with you, as far as the Bible is concerned, neutrality is a sin. When a person believes nothing, you interfere with nothing, you hate nothing, you say, well, everybody is my friend. You don't have any, you don't find purpose in what you are doing. You are only living because there is nothing to die for. Neutrality is an illusion. It's not possible. Refusing to choose is not choosing. That's the meaning. You don't choose, then it's really not choosing. And it's very, very sad. You may refuse to make up your mind, but you cannot refuse to make up your life. Life will flow downward or upward, whether you make up your mind or you don't make up your mind. Jesus said that he that is not with us. And this doesn't matter whether you are saying you are neutral now. He that is not with us is against us. God does not appreciate, neither does God recognize neutrality. There are many people who come to our church here. They're sitting on the fence. There are people listening to me here this evening. They can play instruments, they can sing. There's so many things they can do for the master. They're just sitting there on the fence. Say, I don't want to come. I know what they did to me in my former church. If you are going to be looking at the rear mirror of your car and not looking at the windscreen, you will crash. Joshua told the people, say, choose ye this day who you may serve, whether it's God or not. He now made a powerful proclamation. Say, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Elijah, in that contest of Mount Carmel, he called people together. How long will you be divided between two opinions? So if God is God, serve him. If he's bad, serve him. And the Bible says neutrality makes God sick. Because he says, I rather prefer that you are hot or cold. So, but if you are not hot and you are not cold, so I will spit you out of my mouth. Amen. Neutrality is an offense. Listen, brother. Another illusion that people have. Let's clear all this now before you go into these tragic words. Another illusion that people have is illusion of independence. Man is not independent. It's not possible. Nigeria has gotten independence now for 40, 42 years, 40 something years or so, 45 years. But look at it. We are not independent. We are not independent. We still have to import this. Import that, buy that from somewhere else. We can't sit down and make our own cars, can't sit down and build our own things. We claim to have received independence, but we're really not. And some who say, well, I want to become independent, I want to be able to do on my own. What they are doing sometimes is just changing their bondage. I remember a friend of mine, he was a pastor in a church, and one day the council called him and said, we're sorry. The salary we are paying you is too much, so as from now on, you get half salary. He said, what? He said, yes, half salary. He said, okay. That is because I'm under you. When I leave, I'll be independent. So one day, he took the microphone in the church and said, you people have wicked elders in this church. They have cut my salary into half. Therefore, I'm going away. You are not going to see me in this church again. And he dropped the microphone, took his Bible, and walked out. And some people followed him to go and start another church. Those people were the ones that bought the land, they built the place for him, they did all kinds of things for him. He didn't tell me when all these things was happening, after it had happened. I said, I showed them that I could be independent. I said, no sir, you have just changed your bondage. You ran away from the bondage of the council of your church, and you are now in the bondage of your members. It was like a prophecy. 2 months later, the man who bought the land and who built the church put his own younger sister in the family with the junior sister of the pastor. And people were saying, well, we shall see what he will do. Whether he will suspend the man or what he's going to do now. Anytime he got to the pulpit and took the microphone to say, I suspend, he will remember the land and the building. So he couldn't talk. And people began to grumble in the church. As I'm talking to you now, he's rolling around the streets. He wanted independence. All he did was to change his bondage. There are plenty of people who have been to mountain of fire. Say, this place is too hard. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this. Let me go to a place where I can find independence, where I can do what I like, the rest the way I like. They go, before some of them find their way back again, the enemy will have messed them up. Another illusion is the illusion of innocence. No, I'm not innocent of any good thing happening around you. Not innocent at all. If you are working in a hospital and they are doing abortion there, nurse working in that place, you are not innocent. Let me tell you now, the doctor is not innocent. The one being aborted is not innocent. The building is not innocent. In fact, the way the Bible takes it, if there is a, if they kill somebody at the front of somebody's house, although he didn't participate, but the fact that his blood was on that place, the Bible says you are guilty. You have to go there and say, sorry, I have no hand in your blood, I don't know. Another illusion that is troubling us is that we can commit sin without any consequence. No, it is not possible. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, let's look at the most tragic words ever spoken. Most tragic words ever spoken. In Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read from verse 21. Jesus has just finished his sermon on the mount. And there were told what some people will hear when they stand before God. These words are most head-shaking. They are bone-shattering. They are powerful enough to stop people's hearts. According to the Bible, unfortunately, these are the words that many will hear. It is important for us to pray that we don't want to hear these words from God. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew 7:21. These are the words, beloved. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them. Then will I profess unto them. Will I profess unto them. These seven sad, tragic words, I never knew you. Depart from me. Seven terrible words that nobody should pray to hear from God. I never knew you. Depart from me. And I'll mention the reason why he said they should depart. For ye that walk iniquity. There have been many, many sad statements in this world. If you think back to your own life, there are many instances where you've had very sad words. If you read your Bible, you find many tragic, many sad words. One of the saddest words in scripture, for example, is when God came into the garden to look for Adam and Eve. I said, Adam! Adam! Where art thou? It was a tragic statement. Right from the day that statement went out, men lost their destiny. We are still struggling with that now. Jeremiah made a tragic statement. He said, the harvest is past and we are not saved. Terrible statement. Jesus got to the city of Jerusalem. Said, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent to you, how often will I have gathered you together as a hen gathereth a chicken? Said, but you will not. Said, but now your house is left unto you desolate. Since then, Jerusalem has had no peace on, even up to the time I'm talking to you now, no peace. Where the temple used to be in those days, what is there now is a mosque. Terrible statements. David cried from his heart, Absalom, Absalom. But Absalom had finished himself. 1994, I was in Lagos here, and I got a letter from my father. He had never written me that kind of letter before. He said, son, drop whatsoever you are doing and come to me now. If you still want to see me alive. That's what he wrote. He has never written that letter, that kind of letter before. Being a minister, he will never say, drop everything you are doing. I ran there. They had posted him to one village outside Port Harcourt as a pastor. Far, far, far into the bush. That's why I was ministering. The first time I went to see him there, we look for the place, look for the place. Eventually we find the place at night. In fact, one of the bridges that crosses to the place, what is holding the bridge was rope and wood, and our vehicle was moving like this out of the bridge. We got into that village, no light. Church services were on. The villagers were not interested in church services. Rather, we found a lot of crowd in a place we thought was a church, but it was not a church. They were burying somebody. By the time we got to the church, there was few people there. Lantern was their source of light, that kind of place. By the time I took my daddy away from the place, it didn't last too long before he went to be with the Lord. But the way that he died, we had a service here and I was in here. Here was an old man, walking deep into the bush for the master, with little or no salary. Right there inside the bush, and I would drop everything and come here. It was a sad letter at that time.
This message continues on side B of this cassette.
And now we have younger people who are not ready for any sweat for the Lord. I want you to understand that you can do all kinds of things and the Lord will say, sorry, all these things you did here, they are works of iniquity. I'm not interested. Is prophecy a work of iniquity? Can prophecy become a work of iniquity? The Bible says yes. Can casting out demons now become a work of iniquity? The Bible says yes. So if those high sounding powerful ministrations could be a work of iniquity, how about somebody is singing, somebody is ushering, somebody is doing all kinds of other things? Meaning that what you are doing is an indication whether God knows you or does not know you. You could know yourself, your pastor could know you. You may be popular, but in heaven you may be completely unknown, because your name does not appear in the book of those who are doing righteous works. You are doing a work of iniquity. If you are doing anything in the house of God for high service, you are a worker of iniquity, beloved. You are doing anything in the house of God because of the money, you are a worker of iniquity. You are doing any work in the house of God because of self-centered work, you are a worker of iniquity. Those who are going to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you, they are people who are walking in church. Not unbelievers. Those ones are already condemned to hellfire. So if you ask me what is the most tragic words in the Bible, it is these seven statements I've just made to you. And there are reasons why they are the most tragic words. The first reason why these are the most tragic words is that these words will be spoken at the greatest assembly that will ever be gathered together. The greatest assembly. That's why the words will come out. The Bible says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from his face, the whole earth flew away. Then so I saw the dead, small and great, there. But at that gathering, those words will begin to come out. I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me. That's why that statement will be tragic. The second reason why these words, I believe these words are the most tragic words of scripture. It is the final words Jesus will say to a lost person. It will be the words that will ring in the ears eternally. Imagine, the person is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Imagine the one that said, bring the little children unto me. Imagine the one who died and he shed his blood. The one who invites you, come and drink from the fountain of life. The one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The one who says, I go to prepare a place for you. The one that says, come, let us reason together. Do your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The one that says, Father, I commit my spirit into your hand. The one that says, forgive them for they know not what they do. The same person is now looking at a person straight in the eye and saying, finally, depart from me, I never knew you. It is the final words that will ring into hellfire in the ears of the person. Heaven is becoming a lonely road. Whereas engineers have been employed to expand hellfire because it's becoming too small. Becoming too small. Only 15% of those who come to church are the ones running the church. Many of you listen to me tonight. As far as God is concerned, you are thieves because you don't pay your tithes. Only 15% pay what they should pay. And then when problem comes. The blood of Jesus was your excuse. Why do you want me to protect you now? It will be a tragic thing. On the last day, or on a dying bed, to hear these words. There was a saint of God many years ago. The doctor told him he had 2 weeks to live. What? 2 weeks? He began praise worship and he began to rejoice. Then because he sees his master face to face, his joy, his music, his praise worship extended his life for 2 months again. How many of you listen to me today? Can be rejoicing. If you hear a song, put your house in order. By tomorrow morning, join me in heaven. How many of us here to begin to rejoice? Many will fall on the floor and cry, "Sir, sorry, sir, give me time. I made so many bucks I did not pay. There are so many things you are showing me my revelation to go and do which I did not do. Give me time." Why is this statement tragic? Because this statement is directed at religious people who are serving inside church. It's not unbelievers. The fourth reason this statement is tragic is because of the consequences these statements will produce. Because once those words are spoken, that's it. No repair. If hellfire is a place you can stay for 10,000 years and they release you to come out, you will have been fine. But once the person is in, that's it. Once these words are said, that's it. It's important to pray that you don't wish, you don't want to hear those words of the Lord. All the services you have rendered, all the going in and out, to be a tragedy. If at the end of the day, say, "Son, what did you call your name?" "I don't know you." The work of iniquity. You did the work with pride. You did it with self-interest. You did it with the spirit of "I'm better than them." You did it with the spirit of "holier than thou." And said, "Sorry, this work is not for me." You are working for yourself. Another reason this statement is very tragic is because once it is made, there is no higher court that can reverse it. There will be no appeal, no pardon, no doing your time and getting free. It will have been too late. Too late. Too late. So the greatest tragedy in life, beloved, is for somebody to stand before Christ and say, "What is your name?" "Say, Michael, something. Which church?" "Blah, blah, 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 blah." "Are you born again?" "Yes." "Are you sanctified?" "Yes." "Are you filled with the Holy Spirit?" "Yes." "And what did you do for God?" "This, that, I was this, I was that, I was this. So I did this, I did that." "It's okay. Is that all you want to say?" "I never knew you. But worker of iniquity." That rich man, there is a particular word that Abraham kept telling him. One of the most penetrating words in scripture. So, "Son, remember. Son, remember. Brother, remember. That woman you slept with. Brother, remember the money you stole. Brother, remember the tithes you are stealing. Brother, remember the lies you are telling. Daughter, remember your fornication. Daughter, remember these thoughts of your heart that see you." And when they say, "Remember," everything will be played before you like video. And there is no hiding. Unfortunately, many will almost get to heaven. Almost. But almost there is not there. Almost get there, but they will not get there. One man arrived at the throne of judgment and they accused him of adultery of the heart and of procrastination and disobedience. Three accusations: adultery of the heart, procrastination, and disobedience. He cried out, "Oh my God, I did not realize that everything will come to this." And the angel carried his notebook and said, "Actually, our records shows that you were repeatedly warned." "Sister, our pastor only said it once." The angel said, "No. Our record shows that you were warned 4,450 times." "I said, sorry, sir. I didn't think I had it correctly. Maybe all these things you are calling warning. Maybe they said it in a parable." "Oh, the angel looked at the book again." "Sir, our record shows that you had it correctly and you understood." "I said, sorry, sir. I must have been deceived. I did not know what I was doing." The angel said, "No. So we have examined each case and you knew exactly what you were doing." By that time, the eyes of the angels had changed. I said, "Okay, sir, please, sir. Send me back and give me just one more chance. One. But the angel said, "Okay, hold on. The
Corinthians 20 to the books again.
Pastor Solitaire,
sir. Our record shows that we gave you 18,900 chances. So why should you want one more chance now? What do you want to do with one when you were given 18,900 chances?
That's okay, okay, sir. I say I agree with you.
You are an heavenly being. I cannot argue.
So, okay, I ask for just one more chance.
Sir,
have mercy. Oh, then just say, sorry. The age of mercy is gone.
Depart from me.
And that was the end of that fellow.
He had gambled with his soul. The gain the world will give you in sin is not sufficient for what you will suffer later. And so, this kind of thing is so rampant. In Nigeria here, when they were still shooting armed robbers at Babbage, there was a man they tied to the stake and they wanted to shoot him. Before they were shot, they asked them, are you a Christian or a Muslim? He opened his mouth and said, I'm a Christian from birth. No, he was lying. He never became a Christian. A Christian is not somebody who just goes to church every Sunday. A Christian is not somebody who just bears a Christian name. A Christian is not somebody who has the gift of miracles and of prophecy. A Christian is not somebody who sings in the choir. A Christian is not somebody who is a pastor. No, there are many pastors are not born again. A Christian is not somebody who prays for people and healing takes place. What makes a Christian is when you die to the flesh and you become the kind of person God wants you to become. If you ask yourself questions tonight, is there anything in my life God says will separate you from God? Am I living in complete obedience or partial obedience? Do I spend sufficient time in prayer? Do I spend sufficient time with my Bible? Do I witness to others about Jesus? Or am I already backsliding? Backsliding, backsliding, backsliding in prayer, backsliding in confessing your Christian faith, backsliding in your daily Bible reading, backsliding in living by faith, backsliding in the control of your tongue, backsliding in redeeming your time. You need to ask yourself questions. If you don't want this voice to stand in your ear, you need to take steps. Number one, confirm that you are even born again. There's many people who come to here and are born again. There are thousands who come to our meeting just to pray. But they really have not met God. You are wasting your time. Wasting your time. There are people who come to our meetings like this. Our world will not be too surprised if we see them roaming around strange places again. There are people like that. There are people who are human rats here. They are interested in stealing from God. Confirm your salvation. Be sure. The Bible says, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't make sense if a general of our cell is a pretendant arrives in heaven and you see members in hellfire, pastors in hellfire. Where do you go from there? You may be rejoicing at yourself, but that joy will be limited. And one of the saddest things in the life of a pastor is the fact that many people you have spoken to, many people you have ministered to, will eventually find their way to hellfire. Because they are not stable with God. This is January 2006. Make up your mind this year. Because this year may be the only year God is giving to some people. And the year may either repair you or destroy you, depending on how you handle it. Confirm your salvation. God did not bring you to church to come and become a free or vice principal or principal. He did bring you here to practice eye service. There are some people here now. When they see you, they carry bag and run as if they are mad people. Whereas they didn't come here because of General Vassar. They came because of Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Confirm that one. You may be speaking in tongues, so don't worry about that. You may say, I'm sanctified. Many of those who came to be sanctified also came back to say, we lost the sanctification. But confirm whether you are even saved. Confirm whether your name is still written in the book of life or it's been taken out long time ago. That's the first thing. The second thing, if you don't want this word to stand in your ear, you must be hungry for God. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst because of righteousness. Since they shall be filled. Hunger can fetch the wolf out of the woods. Hunger finds no fault with the cooking. Hunger finds no fault in the meat. Hunger can even make raw beans a delicacy. Hungry men are always thinking that those who are cooking are very lazy. What a thirsty man requires most is water. Hunger and thirst, they are painful experiences. If you don't hunger and thirst after the truth, after the righteousness, you will fall away. If you've been born again for 5 years, and you have never read through the whole of the Bible, it is that whether you are already planning for heaven. You are here memorizing the Bible is a serious problem.
Some don't even memorize anything again. They have made a mistake by calling them pastors. So all they know is what they've known. Nothing new. We say, come here, how many memory verses you've learned in the last 2 weeks? They can't tell you anything. This is very serious. Many are reading the Bible because they want to go and teach others. Whereas they should read it in order to first of all teach themselves. Tough thing to do. Don't want this voice to sound in your ears. It's to do what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate. If in this world we cannot physically recognize who a believer is, who a non-believer is, then it's not like we recognize them when they are dead. You dress like them, talk like them, do everything they do like them. The only things about us are calling Jesus, carrying the Bible. Then when this word comes, when there's no separation, that's the problem. The Christians are called peculiar people, strange people. They are men of our sisters. When they join them from here, they quickly remove all their joy, all those satanic and disbelief attachments. They threw them away. If you begin to look now, you see some of them with some tiny ones they put there again. Some will remove it, and when they are coming in, they put it on in their car. But I say, come on! Be separate. But I saw some people on the American television, and they had everything on. Empty, makeup, everything. What they are projecting from America to this place is American backsliding, not Christianity. And you can see from what is happening there now. That is the first nation in the world where they ordain somebody who is sleeping with a man as a pastor. And that's what we are watching on television. I say, Those people are too old-fashioned. Well, if you say people are too old-fashioned, the Bible says God himself is old-fashioned. That's why they call him the Ancient of Days. The fourth thing you should do if you don't want to hear this voice stand in your ear is in Philippians 2:12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not after my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. You need to pray tonight, brother, that God should remove you from every unprofitable, unprogressive group, that God should put to shame all backsliding spirits in your life. And you need to ask God to cite you and show whether there is any iniquity in your life. This is not a year you can play around, I tell you now. It's not a year you can play on people's intelligence and practice on righteousness. The hour can strike at any time. People will say, what happened now? They will know that you have been playing games and cutting corners with God. Bow down your heads, blood. You need to sort out yourself with the Lord tonight. There's no point in coming here and in the record of heaven your name has been taken out. Maybe it was written there before, but now it's been taken out. There's no use gambling with the devil. I need you to confess your sins to the Lord and to ask the Lord to help you tonight so that the evil voice, those tragic words, may not come to your ears. I give you time now. Many people here tonight, you have very limited time to readjust your life and run back to your early love with the Master. Many people are here who are supposed to be mountain movers for God, but they are still battling with anger, battling with pride, battling with fornication, battling with all kinds of things. You have time to talk to the Lord. Speak to Him from your heart. Say, Father, anything in my life that will make you to say to me, you don't know me again, that will ask me to depart, take it out of my life now, tonight. Talk to the Lord yourself. This is the night to sort yourself out. Talk to the Lord yourself.
God was indeed my Savior bleed, and did my soul die. Would he devote sacred heart, for so much on my side. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for Christ that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amen, pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Open your hearts to the Lord tonight. Open your hearts to the Lord tonight. Let Him do something permanent in your life and last you for this year. Amen. Rise up on your feet now. Lay your hands on your chest and cry to the heavens like this. My Father, cast me not away from thy presence. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and talk to the Lord tonight. Cast me not away from thy presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Any program of any fire for my life, I scatter you tonight in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray like that. In Jesus' name we pray. Any part of my life that is below your standard, God, arise and help me tonight. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and cry to the heavens like that. In Jesus' name we pray. Make up your mind, beloved, that you will turn a new leaf from tonight. Do you understand? Let us share the grace and fellowship.